Tango Tango Papa 2088, December 19, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you once again from home. So it is Sunday afternoon, about 2:29 p.m., so kind of mid-afternoon. So it's been kind of a non-eventful morning. I ended up kind of staying up late last night, so I sort of slept late this morning, and so then this evening, about two and a half hours from now, something like that, I'm going to meet a friend for supper. So, but it's just, I think it's kind of a chilly day. I don't even really know what the temperature is, but it is sunny today. The sun is shining today, so I was just looking to the left there to the window. I'm doing the green screen thing again, so I've got a completely different image. And the problem, you know, with I'm using a Logitech Brio 4K webcam. That's the camera. And I have it perched on top of a pretty good-sized monitor. You know, I've got a big monitor in here, and it's actually, I think, like 30 or 32 inches. It's a pretty good size. It's bigger than a 27, so more like a 32. And it's a 4K monitor. But so I've got this Logitech Brio webcam mounted on, you know, kind of sitting on the top of the monitor. And, you know, I would like, it would be better, you know, from a video standpoint, if I were to you know, constantly look into the camera. But, you know, I kind of also like to monitor what's going on the computer screen. And because of the angle, when I look down, it looks like I'm just, you know, I'm not engaging with the audience. So I guess one other way of doing this would be to get a little, you have like a little desktop type tripod, and I actually have one or two of those around somewhere, so I might give that a try, you know, improve the angle a little bit so that it's more sort of the center of the screen, you know, so it would actually be in front of the, it would be mounted in front of the computer screen, but I'd be more likely to actually look at it. Like I'm looking right at the camera now. So, but it's like I say, there's so much going on the screen that it's kind of distracting. So bear with me as I kind of experiment with this, because right now I'm doing the audio podcast primarily because it's an audio podcast, and I just happen to be recording it, recording the video as well, and kind of green screen. So anyone watching these videos on YouTube that's able to kind of stick with it, kudos to you, because they are kind of boring. They would be kind of boring videos to watch because I'm not displaying anything besides you got me over in the corner of the video, and then you've got the image that I've got off of, I found it online. So, you know, there's all kinds of cool images, and then of course I've got cameras myself, obviously, and so I could select from not only, the photos that I've already taken, but new photos. If I, decide I wanted a certain type of background, I can do that, and I can also do video as well. Video is just as viable as a static image. So green screen thing's kind of cool. So I, as I said in the past, I sort of stopped using or stopped working with video, making videos, because I did a few years ago. I really kind of jumped into it. And then I kind of stopped, or I backed away from it, because it was just so difficult to upload the videos. That kind of became the problem, as as I was limited on bandwidth. So I've really need to go through a learning curve as far as green screen and like this program that I'm using to record this right now is called Open Broadcaster Studio, and it's actually a free piece of software that and they're asking for contributions, and so you've got a lot of it's an open source project that's ongoing, so they keep refining it, and so it's a really nice piece of software what they've done with it. I need to become, it's got all kinds of features, and the only way that I'm going to I can watch videos where people are demonstrating different features, and that's kind of how I got started with it. However, I just have to keep fiddling with it and sort of learn what all the features are and how they work. And there's nothing, you can learn maybe about 5% out of a book, but you learn by doing things. That's how you really learn the best, is by actually doing things. So what I want to talk about today, it's an interesting thing. You look at when we come into the world as kids. So, and once you're an adult, then it's kind of easy to lose that perspective. But when you're a child and you come into the world, you come in with certain expectations that you don't realize you have. They're sort of built in. So you have these expectations that that children have, that they don't even realize they have. So, using myself as an example, when I was a kid and I came into the world, and that's kind of how I can, the only way that I can really look at it is, when I came into the world, I had no idea that I had expectations. And you have a baby, and do the parents think about the child's expectations, from the child's viewpoint or their own viewpoint when they were children? So kids come into the world with expectations. And if you think about it, what are those expectations? What could those expectations possibly be? Well, they're looking to their parents, to the people around them that are taking care of them, because they're completely helpless, obviously. A baby is. A human baby is totally helpless. You have to do everything for it. You got to feed it. You got to wipe its rear end and change its diaper and take care of it when it's sick and go through all of these different things. The child itself has expectations. We come with you can almost think we sort of come pre-programmed in a sense with these expectations that we don't realize that we have. So the kid comes into the world, they're looking for the people around them, the people that are taking care of them, the people that brought them into the world, typically the parents, or the parent placeholders. they're looking for those kids to, or the kids are looking for those parents to guide them. And, you know, a human being needs more than simply, you know, to exist. We really have a need that it's a deep-seated need that we have, that it's more than just simple existence or eating and sleeping and, you know, that type of thing. Now, of course, like with a very young baby, that's pretty much what they do, is that they eat and they sleep and they go to the toilet and they do it frequently and, you know, they have to be taken care of, you know, 24/7. But beyond that, they have expectations. We are looking as human beings, we have this built-in need for meaning. We need to be able to find meaning. And so the problem is that as conscious creatures, and I was talking in the last podcast, we're constantly, if you think about it, we have this, we're constantly struggling with right and wrong, with concepts of right and wrong. What should I do? How should I behave? Where do I find meaning at? How do I find meaning? I think that's, meaning is one of the primary things that we're looking for. But as we look for it, we're sort of also negotiating with this conscience. That's sort of a fundamental part of what consciousness is, whatever it is, and you know people aren't even really sure what the heck consciousness really is. So, but we come into the world with these expectations that that the people that came before, the people that brought us into the world as conscious creatures, we expect them to teach us how to live, but not simply to live, but to be able to find meaning. We need meaning. And I don't think parents look at it that way. Really, they're looking at it maybe, and I'm not a parent, you know, I always like to disarm myself. I'm not a parent, and I, you know, but I do have some opinions about it. And I think parents tend to look at kids, especially a baby, as, oh, this is, you know, it's cute and it's cuddly, and I can only imagine what it would be like to, you know, to have an offspring like that, that you're suddenly responsible for, feeding and taking care of and whatever. And, but are they really, they're thinking, well, I'll set money aside for their education and set money aside for this and set, you know, and, whatever it is that parents do, but are they really thinking? I don't know if parents are really thinking about a child, raising a child in the sense that, the child is looking for meaning. I don't know if the parents even realize that. That they need to, you know, not only feed them and clothe them and take care of them when they're sick and all of those things, keep them from running across the street into the traffic, but also have in mind that the child is looking for meaning. You know, and the child is part of that. The child is kind of looks at the parents as if they're gods, and they expect. What do you expect from God? You know, think about it. What do you expect from God? You expect meaning. You expect God is going to lead you to be able to find. You could also use the word experience, genuine meaning. That's what we're looking for as human beings, is genuine meaning. I want as much meaning as I can in this conscious existence. Because otherwise, what is the point of being conscious if there's no meaning? I think that meaning is a kind of a basic element of consciousness, or at least a basic need of consciousness, is meaning. So I don't know that parents even think about things like that. Are they, are they thinking about how do I go about educating this child, providing the right kind of environment for this child to be able to maximize their meaning, steer them in the proper direction. Don't let them, and that kind of goes along with don't let them run across the street into the traffic. You got to restrain them. Don't let them do any, Jordan Peterson says, don't let your children do anything that will make you dislike them. And that's kind of an interesting little concept, but, I would add to that, not necessarily modifying it, but add to that, don't let your children do anything that could damage their ability to find meaning. Don't put your child in a situation where you put them at odds with their own conscience. And I think that's where that comes to the point where the parents kind of fall down. Because there are no perfect parents. There are parents, some parents are better than others. But we also, as human beings, come packaged with this potential for resentment. And as such, we come into the world, we're looking for meaning, but then when we don't really find any, or maybe we find the parents imperfect. We come into this existence and then we got these imperfect parents. We're imperfect. What do? The first thing we resent. We resent. That's how, and that's how resentment is the vehicle that we use to play God in our own minds. As if we can just hurl the mental thunderbolts at people, places, and things and strike them dead because how dare they offend God? So we sort of play God in our own minds via resentment, and then, of course, the next step after that is to be proud of what resentment turns you into. Have a pride march. Have pride in missing the mark, as it were. Because resentment is a sin. It is, that is missing the mark if you resent. Even if it's justified, even if you think it's justified to resent, it's not. You're only hurting yourself. You do contaminate the people around you as well, but primarily you're hurting yourself when you resent, and you think it's some kind of a defense, and it's exactly 360 degrees opposite. You're sort of inviting the world in. You immediately begin to absorb the thing that you resent. You become what you hate. And there's plenty of examples of people becoming what they hate. World's full of it. So, kids come into the world with these expectations. And they, as I said, they don't even know they had them. When I was that age, I had no idea. I can look back on it now and I can say, yeah, I was looking for meaning. But as a child, I had no clue. You know, I realized that my parents were there. They were there to protect me and to feed me and do all the parent things, but I had no clue that I was also looking for guidance, as it were, towards meaning. And I think that's the phrase, guidance towards meaning. We're looking to be guided towards meaning. That's what we're, you know, you have the idea of God. What does God do? He, you know, guides you towards meaning, ideally. Who wants a meaningless existence? You know, and then you have the kids that now you got a bunch of kids now that are, it's crazy, the kids are committing suicide. And why would they do that? Because they come into an existence that they're looking, and they have no idea they're even doing this, they're looking to be guided towards meaning from their parents. And the parents are failing that. The parents don't even realize themselves that's what the kid needs. Beyond, you know, the food and take care of the, you know, to send them to school and, you know, what have you. Or at least, we'll put it this way, educate, because I don't think it's such a great idea to send kids to public school. Because that's, they're not getting educated, they're getting brainwashed, and there's a giant difference. So they come into this dead, kind of a dry, meaningless existence, and they sort of face a meaningless future. Where's the path to meaning? The path to meaning's been hidden, you know, often I think it's kind of been hidden from people. And besides that, you know, we can also be blind to it. I think we often are blind to it. You know, and I can see how people can end up in despair because of that. But kids do have this, we do come into the world as human beings. We're looking to be guided into meaning ultimately. Besides all the other things, that is the most important thing, I believe, is to be guided towards meaning. Now, fortunately, as an adult, you know, you part of the thing of maturing, if you can mature. Hopefully you can become a mature adult. You give up the resentment towards your parents because you can see they failed, you know, and you had a proclivity to resent probably anyway. But maybe they failed you. Maybe they did the best they could and didn't know any better. Because it almost certainly was the case that they didn't know any better. And, you know, or maybe they were even malicious. But either way, you have to, the resentment isn't hurting them at all, it's only hurting you. And if you want to mature, you have to let go of the resentment. So fortunately, it is possible to let go of resentment for anything, any kind of wrong, you can let go of the resentment. And if you can really let go of resentment, then you sort of become unified once again with your conscience. And the more unified you are with your conscience, the more chance there is that you can find that path to meaning. because your conscience can kind of take over where your parents once you've stopped resenting your parents, then you can kind of reunify with your conscience, and then your conscience actually can guide you to meaning. So conscience is capable of guiding you to meaning. And I just now realized that. I've never quite looked at it in that way before, but that's certainly true, because a number of years ago, whenever, I kind of really did, somehow I got rid of any remaining resentment. And a few years ago, all of a sudden, I woke up one day and whatever anxiety I had was prior to that was gone. This didn't all just happen overnight. It wasn't just some simple thing. It was just, I mumble a little prayer and then it's just flip of the switch. I don't believe it works that way. It's nice to, say your prayer and ask Jesus into your heart and all that. Fine and dandy, but if you really want to find meaning, it's got to be more than that. It's not just reciting a series of words. That may save your soul to recite the series of words, but that doesn't mean that you're going to really find meaning. You got to keep looking. It's not a binary process. Meaning isn't binary. It's more of an analog process. But I hadn't quite thought of it in that way. But actually, if you can become friends with your conscience, become unified with your conscience, then what ends up happening is that your conscience begins to act as a guide to meaning. And your conscience basically is sort of the ultimate guide to meaning. That's why, as I said before, that's why we are constantly, as conscious human beings, we're constantly, even if we don't realize it, we're constantly sort of in a back and forth dialogue, almost a wordless dialogue with conscience. And I really do believe that conscience is God talking to us, very quietly, so-called still small voice. There are people that will kind of argue with that, and they've got other ideas of what conscience is. But I think you really want to get down to brass tacks, I think that's God communicating with us, God talking to us. He's suggesting we have free will. We don't have to listen to it. But if you really want to find meaning, if you're really serious about finding meaning and not just have the grab the gusto and all of the fake things that people do, if you're really serious about finding real meaning, then you're going to find it by making friends with your conscience. That's where real meaning is to be discovered. It's waiting right there to be discovered, or at least the path to it. So, anyway, how long have we been going here? Where's the timer at? Let's see, 29 minutes. Still getting used to this interface, so. Yep, 29 minutes. So I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. It's about 3 o'clock, and so that'll give me time to upload everything. And then I can go meet my friend at 5 in town. So Anyway, hope everyone has had a great Sunday and so far, and I will catch you later.
Have we seen the...
Whoops, wrong button. Let's see, let's try this again. Okay, which one's which? I'm kind of confused now. Which one's which? Do I want that one? Let's try this one. Oh, this one. Okay.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.